What a unique experience we're going to have here today. I'm sitting at the Northern Hotel, or standing at the Northern Hotel, and usually when we're here doing a show, there are faces that we recognize from all across Montana. Not too many here today because there's a national convention going on here. It's the Association of Communication Excellence, ACE. And what are they doing here? They're here to learn how to educate you as well as themselves. They're here to, you know, learn about what's good in the world and how to get that message out to you. But they're also here to kind of go over those tough questions about, you know, do people know where our food comes from? What is a land-grant university and all of those things. We are live today at the Northern Hotel for the ACE National Convention, which is here in Billings, Montana, today on Voices of Montana. Yeah, we like to get out of the studio, and this is a great opportunity here as well. You may not know much about ACE and the Association of Communication Excellence here. I got a guy here I do know who's been on our program a time or two, John Hawley. We'll get rolling with him here. Stacy Stearns, we'll introduce her. She's president of ACE. And also, I mean, we're going to UConn here. We're going to University of Wyoming. Faith Peppers lives in Atlanta, Georgia, but her son works in Dillon, Montana. Pretty cool stuff. Welcome again here. We're 2 decades strong and working on 3 from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. I already introduced John. He gave us a chuckle. How are you, sir?
It's great to be with you, Tom. I love the program. Love being on with you.
Great to see you. And we say hello to Stacy Stearns, who's ACE president and also communication specialist at the University of Connecticut. We know a little bit about the Huskies. They come down here and just about beat everybody in the West. How are you?
I'm well, Tom. Thank you for being here with us today. And we are so excited to have our ACE members here from across the country.
Across the country. What does that mean?
Alaska to Maine to Guam, University of Virgin Islands, and the Northern Mariana Islands, as well as, you know, people from Connecticut, Maryland, and everywhere in between, California.
Do they know each other an awful lot, or do they come and bond over their common mission? I mean, it seems like, you know, there's a lot of new faces for me, as I noted, but are they very familiar with each other, or do they bond at each of these conventions?
Oh, we've got a mixture of both. So we have quite a few first-time attendees here, which we are so excited to have, but then you have people like John and I who have been coming to this conference for over 10 years, and as one of my good friends said, ACE is like a great big happy family reunion. We get together once a year and we pick up where we left off. So, you know, we have a lot of good relationships. These are colleagues that we can rely on throughout the year to ask questions when we need professional advice, when we need somebody doing something similar in another state. We have a network of connected people that we can reach out to.
You know, John, and I think that's so vital. You know, I want to talk about how you help organize this conference as well, but the purpose behind it. I mean, get more into that as well. How you and Stacy work individually with these people who come and, you know, and you guys learn together here.
Yeah, so ACE members are professional communicators, and their mission is to support land grants, public institutions, their private organizations, and getting their message out and doing storytelling. So you said something about bonding earlier. That's an understatement. We bond quite a bit in ACE, and we rely on people from a variety of backgrounds to learn from, to engage, to network, to build skills that we take back to our home institutions that improve lives and communities, just like we do here at Montana State University.
Stacy, when they go back, how are they better communicators?
So we have professional development sessions throughout the conference. So we started on Monday. We have our learning communities that meet throughout the year, but they had their meetings and sessions here with professional development opportunities. So this is really a deep dive, a chance for them to really work on themselves as professional communicators to level up their skills. And then in a few months, we'll have our virtual fall level up conference that they will get another chance for that. And then throughout the year, the learning communities will continue offering professional development.
You guys are good communicators. I could tell. John, you're an excellent communicator.
Thank you.
He's been talking about this conference for the last year as well. So how did it all come together?
Yeah, well, first of all, Stacy gets so much credit. We've worked together for about 10 years now, again, being at two different institutions across the country. Stacy, in her term as president, gets some leeway in sort of picking where we get to host. So she came to me and said, would Montana State Extension be willing to host us? And so I got approval to do some of that. Our team is here. We have 5 people from MSU Extension here this week. We have actually more with presenters and such. And so how that came together is I reached out to my colleague who will be on the show later, David Keto, and I said, hey, let's co-chair this thing together. Let's put together something that'll really tell the story of the West. We've never been in Montana. So we brought 200 people. We worked with the Visit Billings Chamber, and I think Polly Mulvaney deserves a huge shout-out for helping us bring the conference here. And we put together a program the last 2 days, and with our last day being today, that I really think people will get the opportunity to take away a lot of learning. And, you know, we've had amazing speakers. Our keynote, our Hermant speaker, really leaned into the indigenous communities in Montana and how they communicate their message and who they are and what they do. And it's, I'm hearing nothing but great things, which makes me so happy after actually roughly 18 months of planning. So, yeah.
Good job on that.
Thank you.
What do you guys lean into as ACE members or as professional communicators?
Well, we have people at a variety of places in their career. So we have everything from graduate students here with us. We have some undergraduate students who are still figuring out where they want their career paths to be. They were in our poster session the other night, to early level, mid career and senior level, and our retirees are also joining us. ACE is a over 100-year organization. We started in 1913, so we really pride ourselves on being able to tailor our opportunities to people at every level, no matter where you are in your career, whether not even starting or wrapped up, but still love communications. We have something for those people.
I would think, as we talk about, that's Stacy Stearns again, ACE president, communication specialist at UConn Extension as well, and a dairy farmer. You got to note that as well. That's pretty cool. And John Hawley, you probably know your way around a dairy farm, but you avoid them.
Certainly
sure
enjoy the ice cream that comes out of that.
With us here, we got a good list. David Keto, as you mentioned, is going to join us a bit later on. Conference co-chair, comms manager at the University of Wyoming Extension. Faith Peppers, I mentioned, from Atlanta, Georgia. That'll be cool. That a bit later on, too. I want to ask you, Stacy, about the challenges in communication nowadays and the opportunities. You know, you have a lot of formats and a lot of venues that you can communicate, but it's also there's the risk of miscommunicating. And then, of course, you're probably fighting back that an awful lot, too, in today's world. What's the challenge in communications?
So, Tom, you said it really well yourself, and as a professional communicator, you know it as well, is there are so many sources of information right now that people are being bombarded with more information in a day than we had in a lifetime generations ago. And so where our communicators here, our ACE members, are really valuable is being that trusted source of communication, similar to how your listeners feel about you, is they know that when something's coming out of Montana State University, coming out of UConn, that they can trust the information that we're putting out there to be accurate.
I want to go into that, too, because, and I'll have you pick this up first, John.
Sure.
Trust, public trust in science. That's a focus point here, and there's probably a reason for that, is because I think you're accessing or analyzing that we don't have as much trust as we need in our science nowadays. Why is that?
Right. Well, you know, I think there's a variety of factors for that. And what makes me so happy, just like with ACE being over 100 years old, all of our extension programs, and that's not the entirety of our membership. I'd say about 60 to 70% of ACE members are extension communications professionals. But people from Montana to Guam to Maine can trust that peer-reviewed research-based information that comes from the university. And as our name implies, we extend that, and the communicators extend that through, like Stacy was saying, we have website managers here, we have visual storytellers, we have news folks, we have folks that run TV programs. We're going to have a presentation on our partnership with Montana PBS and Montana Ag Live. We're going to have a presentation today. So the institutions that are represented at ACE, they communicate that trust in the science that does come from the university. And, you know, there's a lot of research, public research backing up the trust folks do have in something on a website that comes from a .edu, something in a published journal that has Montana State University of Connecticut Extension's name on it. And so, I mean, that's the best part of being together, is we get to share that work and then find tips and tricks for how to amplify that to the right audience.
Stacy, I want to have you address that as well. Public trust in science. I mean, that was not something that was on our bingo card like 10 years ago, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's such an important factor because we've been doing this for 100 years. And so, as John was saying, some of our members are research communicators. And as Extension, so our role, and Montana knows this well because Extension is so important here, but our role is bringing that public research and putting it to use for people's everyday lives. And so that's where that trust comes in, is that you have a face. You have John Hawley. You have the Extension agents like Jack, that you can, Faith Pepper's son, that you can put a face and they can tell you that this is where that research came from, and just really reinforcing, because at the end of the day, we are all human and connection matters, and that's why the work we do is so important and why people can trust us.
Is there anything rural in Connecticut?
So Connecticut is 60% forested, and I will just point out that we have a 1,000-acre dairy farm. We milk 500 cows with our own processing plant, and we're only the 8th largest farm in the state. So there you go, Tom. We do have some agriculture in Connecticut, and I got to give a shout-out to my Sea Grant folks and all of the aquaculture farmers in Connecticut, too, because we have a little bit of everything, and we're very proud of it.
How's the community there, the ag community? Is it pretty tight? Here in Montana, of course. There's an ag convention of some sort every other week.
We are very tight, and I will say that a few of my colleagues have called me out this week to get off my phone as I am in the dairy farmer group chat, going back and forth with some of my fellow dairy farmers on a couple initiatives we've got going on in Connecticut that needed time-sensitive attention. So,
how are the people of Connecticut? How are they doing? Just like in Montana, go ahead and get deep on it. I mean, we're struggling with the economy. We're struggling with our identities. How are they doing in Connecticut?
I think that that's a similar feeling throughout the country, and if you had any of our other ACE members here, that we'd say the same thing, and that's why it's important now more than ever for us as communicators, for farmers, whoever it is, that those groups and organizations get together and we really support each other, because that's where the value is, and we need to all continue to support each other and help each other through these tough times, and knowing that, what goes up must come down and then vice versa.
Yeah, again, that's Stacy Stearns, ACE President, Communication Specialist at the University of UConn, or Connecticut Extension, and also dairy farmer. John Hawley with us as well. Your excitement about being there, because I see this agenda, and this is a packed agenda. It's Trailheads and Trailblazers, the theme of the conference here this year.
Yeah. So we've had, again, this is our third day, so this is the last day. We really wanted, again, I think I mentioned it earlier, to lean into Montana's indigenous communities, the experiences and work that we do in tribal communities. So we have two reservation extension agents that are coming to present to our members here from Montana, two others from Wyoming. And so really our passion... ACE members are very heavy in the Southeast. We have a lot of members in the Southeast, a lot of members in the Midwest. But the Western experience, when we pitched this, really excited folks. So, yeah, I mean, you have your regular breakout sessions where people can share tips and tricks. And, we have our academic track with the research. But we really wanted to focus in particular today on getting people outside. We have a track where about 40 folks are going to go visit Montana State University Billings and meet with the Native American Achievement Center. And Shout out to Sunny Day Real Bird and their team. They're going to learn all about the work that that those folks do to support Native students in their communities. We're so excited.
Stacy, comment on that.
I am thrilled. So from the beginning, I told John and David that we were not going to have a normal conference, that I wanted it different, and I wasn't bringing everyone to Montana.
You picked the right guy for that.
I did pick the right guy for that. We weren't coming all the way to Montana without getting out and seeing Montana.
We really tried to get it in Bozeman, but seriously, Polly Mulvaney, if you're listening, thank you for hosting us in Billings. It's been great. It's a little cheaper to do conferences in Billings than Bozeman. I'm sure some people listening understand that, but they've been an amazing host, and it meant so much that Stacy said, let's get out to Montana for the first time. We have an archive of all the places we've hosted ACE before, and this was a first time thing, and we're so excited.
How big is the organization? I mean, it seems like there's room for because everybody needs to be some type of communicator nowadays.
So we have about 400 members. Only half of them are here. Our conference is a little over 200 people, but 400 members across the country, as well as some international members.
And are you out recruiting? Are you recruiting in new areas nowadays?
We are definitely doing that. So our director of marketing and member relations has just released a strategic plan, marketing, membership, and retention. So we will be implementing that the next year, and we encourage everyone to, if you're listening and interested, join ACE.
Nice. Stacy, I don't have your website. What's your URL?
Aceweb.org.
Aceweb.org. There you go. Throw it out there several times. I'll write it down and throw it out again.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
John, thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
You're probably circling back here toward the end for a quick wrap-up.
I can, yes.
If you have time.
Yes,
I mean, there's this
absolutely.
Packed conference. I mean, there was a little bit of a break here, though, at 10 o'clock or at 9 o'clock, so we could do this. So good job there. Stacy, it's good to meet you.
Very
as
good
well.
To meet you.
Give everybody in Connecticut our best, okay?
And we will give you a run for your money in basketball the next time the season starts.
There we go.
That's not laughable.
No.
Very serious.
I like the competition.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you, Stacey. Appreciate that. I know you will. All right. We'll come on back. And I think it's Faith Peppers who's up next here, Director of Communications at the USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture. NIFA.
You nailed it.
Is that right? Okay,
yes,
good.
NIFA.
NIFA. All right. And she's the mom of Jack Bazemore. Right?
Extension agent in Beaverhead County, Montana.
I love that connection. She's all the way from Atlanta, and we were teasing her already that Jack is doing some 4-H thing. He's working and can't come and visit his mom.
I'm going to give him a hard time for that, too. Don't worry.
Yeah, right on the radio. Okay. Welcome back here. Northern Hotels, the site for the National ACE Conference here, the Association of Communication Excellence. Again, it involves professionals, communication professionals from many different industries, a lot of them very similar to Montana's across the country, agriculture, but natural resources, public services, and government services, as well as research institutions. A lot of it does center around rural communities as well, and a good conference turnout here. Third day as we welcome you back here to Voices of Montana and say hello to Faith Peppers. Good morning, Faith. How are you?
Good morning.
How are things here so far for the conference?
Oh, it's been a wonderful conference, especially coming here from Georgia. It's nice to not have all that humidity for a few days.
You're not from around here?
No.
We could tell a little bit. Tell us, one of the things that I think we'll just get right into is that your son is an extension agent in Montana, in Beaverhead County. We're heard there in Beaverhead County in Dillon, Montana. Good friends there. Talk about that. Talk about your son being an extension agent and how that makes you feel.
Sure. So Jack grew up in 4-H, which is run by the Extension Service, and went off to college. And we thought he was an ROTC in college. We thought he would have a career in the military. But along the way, changed his mind and went into agriculture and agriculture education and really wanted to be an extension agent. Yeah. And the way the young people today see extension is because it is in every state and every territory in the country. They see it as a very mobile career, much like my generation looked at the Peace Corps as a way to see the world and live different places and have different experiences. They can do that with extension without changing careers. They just change locations. And so as he was getting ready to graduate, they would look at the map and decide, where do I want to live? What do I want to experience? And Jack was really interested in living out west, and he looked at Colorado and Wyoming, but Montana was his first choice, and he was very lucky. He got a job here right out of college in Plentywood in Sheridan County, worked there for a few years, and then moved over to Beaverhead County about a year or 2 years ago. And absolutely loves it.
I would bet. I was going to say, how does he like it? But I think we know the answer to that. That's really cool for him. And an interesting perspective when you talked about extension agents being that kind of new mobile career, so to speak. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved in this?
So I, too, was a 4-H'er growing up. But I didn't have I grew up in a very agricultural community. My mother owned a hardware company, actually the oldest hardware company in the United States. And our family, our extended family were in dairy and cotton, and I was not interested in agriculture. I wanted to be a newspaper reporter.
Uh-huh.
So I got my degrees in journalism. I moved to Atlanta. I worked for the Atlanta Journal and Constitution newspaper.
That's a big outfit.
It is.
Yes.
It is. And in one of the recessions, they were having cutbacks, and I saw a job being advertised as an extension news editor. And I thought, boy, this really connects everything I know.
Oh.
It connected 4-H. It connected my background in agriculture and my love of journalism in one role. But what this position was to work with the Atlanta media to get them to cover extension and agriculture more than they did. And so I took that job. I intended to do that for about 5 years and do something different. And 28 and a half years later, I retired from that job. And the next day, I came to work at the U.S. Department of Agriculture in the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, which is a relatively small agency within USDA. It was created in the 2008 Farm Bill from a predecessor agency, and it is the external funding agency for USDA, and our most of our funding, about 85-90% of our funding, is for land grant universities, and we manage what's called capacity money, and that's money that's allocated to states based on a formula, and it supports agricultural experiment stations and cooperative extension. We're also the national 4-H headquarters, and so we lead the national 4-H program. And 4-H is really interesting. I think one of the reasons it's worked, one of the reasons it's been so successful for well over 100 years, is because at the national level, we give direction, but we rely on the states to implement 4-H at a very local level for what serves their local clients. What are their local kids interested in? What are their needs? What's helpful to them? And especially if you look at a state the size of Montana, what a kid is looking for in Plentywood, Montana, is very different from what they're looking for in Dillon. And so having that local presence allows them to serve the kids the what they want and the way they need it. And Extension works very much the same way. So we provide that overall leadership. We provide funding opportunities. We also have a large portfolio of competitive grants that the schools compete for. And we serve all land-grant universities. So in Montana, that also includes what's called your 1994 land-grant tribal colleges. So while we support Montana State University, we also provide that kind of financial support and program leadership for your tribal colleges.
Faith Peppers again with us here at the ACE Conference, Director of Communications at the USDA, NIFA, right?
Or NIFA.
NIFA. Mm-hmm. Okay, NIFA, which you said, National Institute of Food and Agriculture. So the question for you is, and it comes up everywhere, do people really know where their food comes from?
They're learning more, over my career, I've had quite a long career, and over my career, we see that it's kind of cyclical. There are times when food is what you go to the grocery store and pick up or hit a drive-through, and then there are times when people get intently interested in their food, and this current generation is one that is very intently interested in their food.
Oh, good.
But also where the food comes from, who produces the food. They want food with a story. They don't want to just go buy a steak. They want to know, where was it raised? What kind of conditions was it raised? Do you have a picture of the farmer? They like to buy very local. Can they buy at the local farm market? Is there meat available for sale at a local ranch? And so they're much more intently interested in food from the hoof to the plate, right? They want to know where it was grown, but they also are very interested in nutrition, precision nutrition, cooking. So it's a great revival for us.
How does that change the job of communication in this industry?
Well, in some ways it makes our job easier. But then we also have to educate, because there's so much access to information right now, and not everything on TikTok is true. I know that really shocks people. And so we have to make sure that people have the right information about food, that they don't get misinformation that suddenly becomes truth by perception. And so that's the great thing about Extension. When we do surveys and ask people, you know, what's the number one attribute about your local extension service, your local extension agent? The number one thing they always say is trust. And it's because they've been there for generations. They've built this level of trust, this foundation of science-based information that comes from the university that people know they can trust. And they know their county agent. My county agent, when I was growing up, used to live across the street from me. And now she lives down the street, and I still call her when I have a problem.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So it's that level of trust and familiarity that has really served the system over these years.
Well, and I think that's what people have come to expect as well, that we treat each other as family more than anything, right,
mm-hmm.
in the same industries. So I don't have any time left. I got 20 seconds. Just a shout-out to KDBM and Jack Bazemore in Dillon, Montana. And he's sacrificing for 4-H and couldn't make the conference here. So congratulations to him. And Faith, so much a pleasure to meet you and get to know you. Thank you for what you do.
So nice to meet you, too. Thank you so much for your time.
Good luck going forward. Great to have you joining us here today. We are live at the Northern Hotel in Billings, Montana, site of the National ACE Convention. That's the Association of Communication Excellence here. And a lot of it focuses on agriculture, but there's natural resources, artificial intelligence. I mean, there is really nothing, I think, that's not on the plate when it comes to good communication about, because we have a lot of challenges in our world nowadays. Again, thanks for being here to Voices of Montana. Here's a little stat I'm going to throw out before we welcome our guest here. David Keto is with the University of Wyoming, but most Americans are now at least three generations removed from production agriculture. That has an impact. Less than 2% of Americans are directly involved in farming. Again, that has an impact on our daily lives in our rural communities, and consumer understanding of agriculture increasingly depends on communication rather than direct experience. Dave Keto is with us. He's conference co-chair and comms manager, University of Wyoming Extension. Go ahead, go Pokes. Let's get it out there. Go Pokes.
And shout out to our listeners in Northern Wyoming who we know and certainly appreciate that you broadcast to and get good information out to. So thank you. Thanks for having us today.
Thank you for that. Thanks for coming on here. We'll say hello to Jeremy Kane as well. He's your graphics guru, so we'll have some communication questions for him. I want to ask you first, David. You know, that's more of a broader question here as well. But the communications, we don't have that same direct experience that we used to have with agriculture. And so the job of communications becomes pretty vital.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. And it's interesting you pose that question. I'm actually one of those generations removed from agriculture. I grew up in Cheyenne, Wyoming. No connection directly to a farm. Had some friends who farm. Got to go, you know, hang out when they were combining and things like that, which was always a fun time. But I'm some generations removed myself, and I really came up through a natural resources trajectory through college and into grad school into communications. And one of the things I think is interesting about that, and more our comms teams have folks who don't have that direct involvement.
Yeah.
And I think it's sort of important to my mind because of the listening audience and the public we have now. I think it's important to have both some folks who have that depth and real true experience in ag. But I think one of the things that I can say for myself as a non-ag person that I bring to the table is I think I can come from more of the audience perspective, the general audience perspective, put myself in their shoes and say, okay, well, like any field these days, you know, ag has its terminologies, its verbiage, it's the way we talk about things. And so kind of breaking through, you know, some of that clutter and that insular kinds of communications, the way we talk about it, and coming in with that fresh eyes and that outside perspective. And so I think, you know, in communications, having that balance of people with the depth of ag, but then people with that fresh outside perspective to really say, you know, you're used to this machinery you run in the field, and you know your procedures on an annual basis and these cycles. Well, tell me more about that. No, I don't understand. You know, how does this work? And some of these precision ag things now, especially, I think, are just another higher level of how scientific agriculture has become and how technical. And so, that's one of our roles as communicators is to really break it down, make it understandable, and put ourselves in the place of our audience.
Yeah, I'm going to throw some AI questions your way as well. But let me ask Jeremy Kane about your background as well. Did you have an agricultural background? And now with Extension, putting that graphics together, talk about that.
So my background is not related to ag at all. And when I got into this field, I didn't really understand the role of Extension. But now seeing we take the new information in agriculture and make it present it in a way that 99% of people need to be able to understand it quickly is something that I fell into and got into and adapted to really quickly.
Yeah.
And graphics, text layout, like all that stuff, you need to be able to grab people's attention quickly and communicate it clearly in a few seconds. That my experience has been that faster is better, but clear is the key.
Yeah. And we're all still dealing with that same attention span for people. I mean, it's wide in the first 5 seconds, but 10 seconds later, it narrows. How do you deal with that, David?
Boy, you know, that's the million-dollar question. Yeah. If we had that silver bullet, you know, we'd be rich guys. You know, some of it, honestly, is trying and seeing what sticks, right? Like, we may try something one time and realize that, hey, you know, it's too dense, it's too much information. Of course, like a lot of folks these days, social media is one of our big go-tos, and so trying to break it down, you know, match those algorithms, match what's working best on social, that's a big output for us. But one of Jeremy's strengths is really still on that print side, and so again, meeting that audience where we are, we know our Wyoming audience still really highly values print, and we're fortunate that we still have the budget and the support to be doing that. And so, you know, we spend a lot of time and effort on our magazines, and because we know we have a little more time in that space to really get it right, to tell compelling stories. And so for us, it's sort of an all-of-the-above strategy, really.
Yeah. Jeremy, comment on that.
Even here at the conference, even, like, in the last 20 years, it used to be you got all the stuff in the mail, and you got an email, and it was special. And those have shifted, and now you got a bunch of junk in your email, and when something shows up in the mail, you're like, oh, what's this? And so we're finding that print material is being more accepted, or not accepted, but a better experience for people. And even here at the conference, people are talking about, we're revitalizing our magazine. We're bringing our print things back. And
nice.
So the fact that we never fell out of that is kind of like, oh, we are leading the way in print material. And if we can keep that up, I think we can keep more people in the area interested.
What opportunities, David, does AI afford communicators?
Yeah, like a lot of fields, I think it's an efficiency piece. And I'd say we're on the early end as a comms team exploring that. And so it's really finding ways in our own individual workflows. So like I said, we're a small team. We're sort of one deep in each skill set. And I trust all of my folks to be very specialized, very experienced, and really know their field. And so, you know, for our writers and editors, you know, using it as a companion on some editing, on some brainstorming is a really good thing. Our web designer regularly uses it for code she may not know, or, you know, hey, it would take me a real long time to code this out, actually getting it, you know, coded in, but I can get AI to do that quick for me. And she and our digital marketing specialist are really starting to use it for SEO and really that optimization piece, because it is a strong tool for that. You know, that said, of course, everything we kick out to the public is checked and there's human eyes on it and we're revising. And Jeremy uses it for iterating, particularly in when we're building logos and things like that, just to get pieces and ideas so he can say more about
it. Do you love to use it or do you hate to use it as a creative graphic guru?
I like it for when I hit a roadblock. If I can ask it, hey, I run into this problem, I could use a little help with an idea expanding on this concept. And it gives you something where you're like, oh, I like what you said, but I'm not going to necessarily take it exactly. But I'm like, okay, you've pointed me in a direction, and now I can go further. So it is a tool for boosting or getting over roadblocks. It's not for solving problems.
Gotcha. Not everybody in your world feels that way, though, do they?
Not all of them. Yeah. A lot of people are afraid, like, this is going to take over. But it's more people who can figure out ways to use it creatively in their own space will give them a one-up over the people who don't. And that will give us an advantage in being better communicators and getting more information to people quicker than the next guy.
A lot of upside to it, so yep. It has to be a tool.
And I was just going to add, in the agriculture space as well, like we're already telling some stories from University of Wyoming and our researchers about uses of AI. And one of the recent ones that hits big is we had a grad student using it to analyze, I may get this wrong, but I believe it was connected to brisket disease in cattle. And so to be able to quickly analyze samples, make comparisons and say, you know, this is likely here, this is likely there. So we're seeing a lot more use in the ag space as well, not just communications.
Dave Keto is with us here again, conference co-chair and comms manager, University of Wyoming Extension. How are things in Wyoming? I mean, we got a lot of friends. We got neighbors, you know, from our state to the south of us, our neighboring state. Give us a snapshot.
Well, this won't be a shock to our Wyoming listeners, of course, you know, and I'm sure you've covered this on your show extensively already, but of course, you know, looking at drought this summer, and so we're trying to, on the comm side, really gear up, coordinating with our educators and specialists to get our resources out there, be a help on the ground, because that's the strength of our system, is having that. We're still privileged to have educators in every county, and so really, you know, encourage people. That's the front door. Go to your office if you need to. We have those digital and online resources covered as well, but so trying to support the drought efforts, you know, water, invasives, always issues, but I would say overall, things are going well at Wyoming for us. Like I say, that presence across the state is still strong. Our educators are always out there listening, learning, collaborating. And so Jeremy and I have the privilege of working with those great folks on the ground in our system. And really, I think that's another piece we talked about at the top. You know, less and less people have that direct connection to ag, including ourselves. And so that's another strength, is that we can work with those educators and specialists who have that depth, have that knowledge, who are on the ground, and we get to come in and tell their great stories and amplify their work.
What's in the future for comms? the next few years?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, we hope to continue to win awards here at ACE and be competitive with our larger peers across.
Did you guys win some awards?
We did. We did.
Congratulations.
Yep. Jeremy won a gold for our Reflections magazine, our research magazine. So
fist bump.
Yep. So, and there's a lot of value to ACE, of course, and the peers, the networking, but it is really a special thing when we can compete against University of Florida and Ohio State and these bigger schools and take home some hardware. Continue to operate in that space. I think we really do try and be partners with our educators and specialists, and so not only for emerging issues, but really looking ahead with them on some of the forward-looking strategic kinds of things. Precision ag really is up and coming for us at Wyoming, and so we're hiring up on campus for some researchers in that space. We were just out a few weeks ago. I was out doing some video work in Pinedale, Wyoming, telling some stories about virtual fencing. The conservation district there, in partnership with Extension, was starting to collar a particular producer's herd out there in a collaborative effort, and they're going to do some research and see, kind of proof of concept on the ground how virtual fencing works up in the Wind Rivers, which is rugged country. And one of the game changers in that space is this particular collar system they're using just switched from radio-based ground stations to satellite. Uh-huh. And so that in Wyoming, that's a game changer, I think, for virtual fencing is that satellite connection. Because, I'm sure you've visited. We're not exactly a flat state. And so seeing those technological advances and being able to stay current with that and share how that works best for producers.
I want to ask you, we've got to wrap it up here too, but I want to ask you a question about public trust in science. It's one of the things that you guys have addressed here as well. We've noted, why that is to a certain degree. What's your thoughts on that, David?
Yeah, I think, and this is, maybe I'll take it first from a broader perspective, but it's one of the strengths I find in Extension is that I think the university, and not just our university, but I think universities generally increasingly are seen as, that sort of city on the hill, inaccessible, we're disconnected.
Right.
And I think that's one of my passions and why I stick with Extension is I think what we as an Extension organization specifically bring to the table is that we know that people need that information. We want to be out there and we need to make those linkages. And it's not even in that expert. I don't see it necessarily through the expert lens of we're going to come out and tell you how to do what to do. That's not it anymore. In the past it was. But I think it's that collaboration. And some of the things I hit on, I hope, illustrate that we're out there with eyes and ears on the ground and we can bring some knowledge, we can bring some network, we can bring the collaboration, but we don't need to tell you how to do it. And so for our work, one of the ways that we try and work that in is, we want to work with our educator specialists, feature them, have them writing articles, have them on the face of our videos. But one of the things I enjoy best, especially in the video space, is when we get out with producers and that peer-to-peer. And so I think facilitating peer-to-peer learning, and we do that through a number of means too, but I think that's another way that we can bring that university magic, this network across the country we have with ACE, a national network, and really bring that down to an applied local level and bring resource, but hey, what do you need? You have on-the-ground experience. You know what you need as a producer, and you have a good story to tell with others.
Fun job. Beats working for a living, right?
There you go. Yeah. We feel lucky to be doing it. So.
David Keto, thank you so much. And Jeremy Kane, thank you as well.
Thank you.
We'll take a break and come on back. Wyoming is always, University of Wyoming is always welcome around here, okay?
Thanks very much, Tom. Thanks for having
us. You guys do great work. Appreciate that. We're back here at the ACE Conference. It's a national association, Association of Communication Excellence here. Held their conference for the first time nationally in Billings, Montana. We just heard from David Keto. He was the conference co-chair. As is my final guest, and John Hawley, who's a friend of the program. John, really good conference here. Everybody had something interesting and impactful to say. You think about communication nowadays and all the challenges in it. You forget how vital it is and how if you keep it simple, then you're already halfway there, right?
Tom, you just said you led into maybe the most important thing about communicating. That's understanding your audience. And with some audiences, it's super simple. When we work with farmers on developing technical publications at MSU Extension in Bozeman, it might be a lot less simple. So it's all about knowing your audience. And the ACE members here, they have unique audiences in their state. You just got done talking to David. The ways in which we communicate and provide information in Wyoming is similar to Montana, but there's differences, right? Every state has different farmers, different parents and teachers, different consumers. consumers of information, consumers of products, and it's Extension's role, it's Extension Communicator's role to translate that to the appropriate audience.
I'm going to give a shout out to Adriana Hines, our sales manager, who's going to be giving a presentation here a bit later on as well. And that's one of the things that you guys have done, have put together a pretty broad conference, haven't you?
Yeah, and it, you know, obviously we've partnered, and I feel honored to be called a friend of the program, because not only do I love coming on with you, I love listening. So I get to listen on KMMS and Bozeman, the 7 o'clock reruns. So, Adriana presenting, and, you know, the longtime partnership with Bernadette and your sales department. You know, the diversity of the program, we want to make sure that our members, you know, you just got done talking to David's team. They do different things than my team does. The team in UConn with Stacy, their team does something different. And so we want to make sure there's a well-rounded opportunity for everyone to come and enjoy and learn. Take that learning back, because we're all on the clock here. Help their universities, help their communities thrive.
You're doing a good job here. They're going to rope you into next year's conference. Where's that going to be?
It's going to be Tampa, Florida. We're super excited, and you know, I won't be chairing it next year, so
yeah.
I'll have a little less work. But I'm sure there'll be probably one or two others on my team that will be going to Tampa to learn, to develop professionally, come back, and make that improve the lives and communities of Montanans through MSU Extension.
Good job, John Holley.
Thank you, Tom.
Appreciate
Always
that.
Great to be on with you.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.